Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 43 degrees under mostly cloudy skies now. Today is Wednesday, April 25th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Assemblymember Terry Blake will step down this summer. Blake and his family are moving to Texas to be closer to family in the lower 48. He and his wife Susie and their two sons have lived in Sitka for 6 years. He says deciding to leave wasn't easy.
It's heart-wrenching for my wife and I both, and I'm sure that that our two sons are, they'll feel the loss as well. But when you have family that's growing older and such, it's just a time in our life that we need to, I think, be closer to them.
He says they're planning to leave in mid-June. Blake was elected to the Assembly in 2010. His term expires in October 2013. Under the Sitka Charter, Assembly members must appoint a replacement within 20 days of the vacancy. That person will serve until the next regular election, which is set for this fall. Sitka schools will receive $5.9 million from the city this year. The Assembly approved the funding during last night's regular meeting. Alaska municipalities must contribute every year to school district budgets based on a property tax formula. A bill sitting on the governor's desk simplifies that formula. In Sitka's case, it lowers the minimum amount that cities are required to give to the schools. School Board President Lon Garrison said his counterparts around the state are worried that their communities will send less to the schools in the long term. But he said in the short term, the state will make up the difference to give districts a chance to prepare. For Sitka this year, it means an extra $500,000.
We thought that it would be poor form on our part not to consider that part of that $522,000, 50% of that, could come to the city and borough.
The city fronted the district $300,000, which it could now get back. The school system, meanwhile, will take the rest of the extra state money and use it to build back its reserve accounts, which were drawn down to their lowest level in recent history this year, in order to balance the budget. Money could come from other sources, too. Legislation awaiting the governor's signature includes nearly $300,000 in one-time assistance for energy costs, plus extra money for career and technical education and transportation needs. The school funding picture is far from complete. All of the items just mentioned have yet to be signed by Governor Sean Parnell, and federal funding from the Secure Rural Schools Act is still up in the air. The Assembly also took another look at remodel plans for Pacific High School last night. In January, Assembly members rejected a design for the school that featured what architects called a low-sloped roof. Assembly members called it flat and said they were worried about rain damage. Last night, the Assembly saw new drawings that include a high-sloped roof and new exterior materials. At the moment, ceiling tiles at Pacific High School carry visible signs of water damage. Paint is peeling off the building's exterior, and the current floor plan includes a hallway that cuts the building in two. Administrators and teachers have said that the current classrooms don't work well with the school's alternative education model, which encourages students to move around and collaborate rather than sit and listen all day. The new design has a commons area and classrooms connected by modular walls to allow for different configurations depending on the lesson. Phil Burdick is co-principal of Pacific High. He was asked during the meeting whether he's excited about the project. In a word, he says, very.
It's going to change everything. It's going to change the way we're able to deliver. It's going to change the way students feel about the education they get. It's going to change the way the community feels about the education that we're giving. It's going to change the way 500,000 visitors a year view Sitka and how we treat education. You guys, this is going to be an amazing thing for the community.
There are still finishing touches to put on the design and one more approval before the school board and assembly. Sitka's assembly has a say in the project because the city owns the school buildings. Sitka voters approved city funding for just over a third of the project. The state is supplying the rest of the $2 million budget. If you were trying to get to Japonski Island on Monday night, you probably found the bridge closed by police. It was part of a community-wide disaster drill. The exercise involved emergency responders, doctors, nurses, airport and airline officials, the Coast Guard, and even students from Mount Edgecombe High School. KCAW's Ed Ronco rode along and filed this report.
The airport drill has started officially now, so this is a drill. Everybody head to the airport.
Sitka Fire Chief Dave Miller hops in his red SUV outside the Sitka Fire Hall and starts rolling toward the airport. He's towing the department's mass casualty trailer. In tonight's drill, a passenger jet has crashed during takeoff from Sitka's runway, which is surrounded by water.
10-4, can you give me an approximate of how many victims you think we have in the water and on land?
I'm assuming it's a 737-400, so we could have a crew of five and up to 140 passengers.
The official count ends up being 85 victims. About half of those are made up of foam and floating in the water around the airport. The other half are played by Mount Edgecombe High School students. They are lying all over a field between the airport's runway and taxiway. Miller pulls up on the scene.
If you can walk, move this way. If you're walking, move this way.
Some of them begin heading toward the fire trucks and ambulances. Others are on the ground, not moving. Students have been assigned roles, and some of them have been asked to play victims with serious, specific injuries. Firefighters are carrying people out on stretchers. EMTs are crouched around some students, while other pretend victims sit in the field, looking dazed and calling out for help.
Okay, I want you to just stay calm, take nice deep breaths, all right?
Okay.
The responders put color-coded tags on the mock victims. Green means the patient can walk. Yellow is someone who is injured and needs help to get around. Red is someone who needs immediate assistance. And a black tag means the victim has died. Terry Blake, a physician's assistant at Mount Edgecombe Hospital and, as it turns out, a member of the Sitka Assembly, is tending to one of the students who has been made up to look scarred and bloody.
I need a red high priority tag on this one.
Hey, can you hear me? Take a big breath for me.
Please.
Open your eyes, Ron. Let me see you.
The student is loaded onto a stretcher and then carried to a red tarp, which matches his tag. There, he's tended to until an ambulance is available to take him to the hospital. Back at the fire hall, Chief Miller explains that handling a disaster here is a lot different than in larger communities.
If you watch on TV, the big disasters on TV, they'll have, 100, 150 ambulances show up to start hauling patients. We have three.
So Miller says they just have to make do. And because Sitka is on an island, it can't call on other fire departments for assistance. But they certainly have help. The police, the state troopers, the Coast Guard, the Department of Transportation, Alaska Airlines, Sitka Community Hospital, Search, Allen Marine, and more all took part in the drill. At one point, Miller saw a bunch of fishing boats heading toward the runway and got on his radio to remind anyone listening that this was a drill.
You know, until you find out who's willing to play in a mock drill like this, you don't know really who you can count on during a real thing. So having this many people participate in a mock drill, you're going to have twice as many in the real thing. So that's always a really good feeling.
Kelly Boddy is with the Department of Transportation, which oversees the airport. She says these drills are required every 3 years.
Oh, gosh, I don't think you ever really feel prepared for anything like this, but it definitely helps in the next, taking the next step. We went from our last triennial drill of doing a water rescue only to this year doing a land and water rescue. So now it's coming together more that, we're a little bit more prepared what to do in this kind of situation, because likelihood, that's what we're going to have, is a land and water drill.
There were a few hiccups during Monday's exercise. At one point, a fire engine had to leave to respond to an actual fire alarm back in town. Everything turned out to be fine. And there were a few chuckles, too. But for many involved, the drill was sobering. Sitka is small enough that you almost always run into people you know at the airport or even at the Sitka Gate in Seattle. Any given flight likely has friends and family members aboard. Fire Chief Miller says that if something actually happens, it will be very difficult for the community, and that he hopes his staff never, ever has to use what they've learned here today, but that he's glad they're ready. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can see pictures of Sitka's mass casualty drill at our website, kcaw.org. A Ketchikan fly fisherman reported missing on Saturday has been found safe. 57-year-old David Ford had gone to Salmon Bay Lake on Prince of Wales Island for a fishing excursion. A Takwan air pilot arriving at the lake on Saturday at a scheduled pickup time could not locate him. Beth Ipson, a spokesperson for the Alaska State Troopers, said Ford was found alive midday yesterday.
At about noon today, searchers found 57-year-old David Ford
it was in an area north of the creek between Salmon Bay Lake and Salmon Bay. Last night, searchers found some tracks, some footprints that they hadn't seen before. So today, that was one of the tasks, was to kind of follow that trail and search the area that that trail, that those footprints led to. And from what I understand, that led the searchers to him.
As of early afternoon yesterday, Ipsen did not have complete details of Ford's condition or why he went missing. Ipsen says he appears to be okay.
The information I have is that he's not badly injured. They're going to take him to Ketchikan, to the hospital there, to get him checked out. But as far as where he was or what he was doing the last past 4 days, that's still to be determined because we have yet to have a trooper talk to him.
Ipsen says the Kluwak Search and Rescue, the Ketchikan Volunteer Rescue Squad, Alaska State Troopers, and Forest Service personnel all helped with the ground search. She says the U.S. Coast Guard and Temsco helicopters also searched from the air. She says she's pleased with the outcome.
I like happy endings. We don't, you know, once in a while we have a search that, we fear the worst but hope for the best, and occasionally we have good news at the end of the day.
Ipsen says troopers planned to interview Ford yesterday afternoon. Legislators who are not members of the Finance or Resource Committees are looking for ways to pass the time while our colleagues consider the state's oil tax structure and a proposed in-state natural gas pipeline. Nearly half of Alaska's lawmakers were excused from attendance on Monday and Tuesday, though many have filtered in and out of hearings and are working on projects previously left by the wayside. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for mostly cloudy skies, periods of rain mainly along southern Baranof Island, highs around 55 today. Northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour until late afternoon, becoming light and variable. Tomorrow, cloudy, chance of rain showers, highs around 50. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.